Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. How's everybody today? How's everybody watching at home? Doing good? Hey, guess what? If you got Jesus in your heart, you're always doing good, right? You turned away from the devil, you're doing good today, right? But the devil's still going to fight us each and every day, ain't he? Hey, your title for the message today is this. Since we are talking about the Holy Spirit and Trinity and everything, One in Christ Jesus. That's your title, One in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all are glad you're one in Christ Jesus today? Amen. Even with the Holy Spirit in there, right? We're still one in Christ Jesus. Your first scripture is going to come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, or 65, sorry about that. Isaiah 65, verse 1 through 9. Isaiah 65, 1 through 9, NIV version, says it this way. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call my name, I said, here I am, here I am. All day long, I have held out my hands to obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. A people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altar of bricks, who sit among the graves and spend their night keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord. Because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. And when juice is still found in the cluster of grapes, and people say, don't destroy it, there is still a blessing in it. So will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains, my chosen people, will inherit them. And there will my servants live. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct me, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. And Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the messages you have for us, Lord. Lord, may we get a little bit closer to you, Lord. May we glean a little bit more out of your word today, Lord. Lord, may we hug you a little bit tighter around the neck today, Lord. Lord, may we leave better than we came in today, Lord. We ask you to be with the rest of the service. Your name I pray. Amen. Grace and peace be with you from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever tried to help somebody who didn't want your help? I've been there. How about you guys? A friend that you warned, but they didn't listen. A loved one that you pleaded with, but they turned away. In Isaiah 65, God Himself speaks of that sorrow. He stretches out His hands all day long to a rebellious people. How many of y'all been that rebellious people? Amen. But here, on this proper seventh Sunday, it invites us to see something deeper. The gracious persistence of God and the tragic residence or resistance of our human hearts. The passage calls us to see three great theological truths out of it. One is that God seeks first. Second is humanity resists faithfully. And the third is that God preserves a remnant for His glory. Amen. How many of y'all glad y'all part of that remnant today? Amen. So let's reflect a little bit on each one of them. Tracing through the threads through the Scripture. God seeks first. Verse 1 and 2 it says, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. What grace is that? That's a good one, ain't it? That's big grace, right? Before anyone ever sought God, before any of us ever sought God, He was seeking us. He was looking for us, amen? Here, Israel's failure shows the deeper truth of that divine initiative. God is always the one who makes the first move. God is always the one that makes the first move. Amen. That's not new, is it? Adam and Eve hid. Right? They hid. But what happened? The guy came seeking. Where are you at? He asked. He made the first move, right? Abraham was called from paganism. Not because he sought God, right? But because God sought him first. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The true divine initiative of God's plan culminates in Christ Himself. Paul picks up this passage in Romans 10:20 to explain why Gentiles, those who weren't seeking God, were finding Him. Salvation itself has always been given by grace. Amen? By God coming first. Not us, right? This Sunday reminds us that the God of Isaiah is truly the same God who sent His Son to us. Not because we were righteous, right? Not because we deserved it, right? But because that same God is loving and merciful for each one of us. We truly see how humanity resists faithfully, don't we? I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people. What does God receive for His grace? Rebellion. How many of y'all still rebel at His grace? Amen? Stubbornness, right? Rebellion, stubbornness. False religion is part of it, that rebellion, isn't it? God's people prefer their idols, their ways, their own righteousness, rather than truly God's truth itself. Notice the irony in this. They sat in the tombs, places of death, seeking life. They eat pig's flesh, violating the covenant in pursuit of a blessing. They say, keep to yourself, do not come near me. As if they are holier than God Himself. How many of y'all have been there, done that? Right? We sometimes still act like we're holier than God Himself, don't we? That truly is spiritual arrogance, isn't it? And death masquerading as life. The resistance echoes the wilderness generation, the stiff-necked hearts of Israel, and even the religious leaders in Jesus' day, who rejected Him as Messiah. But isn't that also each one of us here today? Paul says in Romans 3:11, no one seeks God, not even one. Our hearts, apart from grace, resist Him, don't we? But we truly see that God perseveres and preserves that remnant in His glory. As the new wine is found in the cluster, so I will do for my servants' sake. Here is the hope. That gives us truly hope, don't it? God does not utterly destroy, does He? No matter what we might think, no matter what the devil might tell us, right? No matter what the world might tell us, God does not utterly destroy. In the midst of a judgment, He preserves a remnant. Those chosen by grace. Not because they or we deserve it, right? But because of His promise. Out of the rebellious Israel, God brings forth a people to inherit His blessing. Just as from the line of David came Jesus Christ. Amen. The doctrine of the remnant assures us that God's plan never fails. Though human sin abounds, even within us today, right? Grace, God's grace abounds even more. Even in judgment, God is saying, even when many reject me, He will choose, or His chosen will respond. Ultimately, the true servant, Jesus Himself, fulfills that promise, don't He? Bringing salvation not only to Israel, but also to the nations themselves. So one thing we can do is we can marvel at God's seeking grace. Have you forgotten that God sought you when you were lost? This Sunday calls us to humbly remember your faith is not your work. Amen? But it is truly God's gift to each one of us. We see a repentant of our self-made religion. Are there ways that you today, here and watching at home, like Israel, perform outward religion but resist our inward change, our grace in our hearts? Do you keep God at arm's length while pretending holiness? We need to confess and return to Him today. Amen? And we can truly trust in God's sovereign plan. The world that rejects God, or in a world that rejects God, God Himself, He is not defeated, is He? He preserves His people. The remnant is real, guys. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Christ. Isaiah 65 shows the God who stretches out His hands even to those who slap them away. That truly is grace, isn't it? Unmerited, unfavored. Grace beyond grace. But He also keeps us His promise, don't He? A faith will rise. His servant has come. The remnant will inherit. This Sunday proclaims the gospel. The God who seeks will save. The God who calls will justify. The God who perseveres will glorify. In Jesus Christ, that promise is yes and amen. Amen. Because we truly see that we can truly be that one in Christ on this day. We can truly call out for Him, not rebel against Him, right? The second scripture comes from Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 29. Galatians 3, 23 through 29, NIV version says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by that faith. Now that that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. There is neither what? Jew nor Gentile. Neither slave nor free. Nor is there male or female. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. Amen. As we continue through this Trinity season, this passage calls us to consider how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together in salvation history to create a new humanity, which is us today, the church, right? From Genesis to Revelations, God's purpose has been to gather a people for Himself, to live under His blessing, in His presence. A verse from Galatians today shows us how this is fulfilled in Christ by faith. Apart from the law, and how this faith creates us a new unity among our believers. We truly see we have the law as a guardian, preparing for that Christ. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, this law is our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by that faith. Amen. God's law reflects His perfect righteousness. Leviticus. But after the fall in Genesis, humanity was enslaved to sin and incapable of fulfilling the law's demands. The Mosaic covenant of Sinai was not a means of salvation, but it was a temporary arrangement to reveal sin and resist evil and point toward or forward to the Messiah. The law kept Israel separate, holy, but also in prison, each one of them under its demands of that law, awaiting the promised offspring of Abraham. Jesus came as the one true Israelite who obeyed the law perfectly and bore its course for sinners, or bore its curse for sinners. The law's role as a guardian ended because Christ Himself fulfilled it as His purpose. The law's ultimate purpose was to lead us to Christ. God the Father used the law to prepare His people for the Son's coming. The Spirit now rewrites our law in our hearts. But now, we're being justified by faith. Faith has come. We're no longer under that guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through that faith. Amen. We have truly God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of a multitude of faith is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Gentiles and Jews both are justified, not by the works, right? But by the faith in the Messiah. To be sons of God recalls Israel as God's firstborn son. But now expanding universally through Christ Himself, the Son shares His sonship with all who are in Him. And the Father adopts us. The Son redeems. And the Spirit itself bears witness with each one of our spirits that we truly are children of God. Amen. The Holy Trinity is involved in making us His sons and daughters. We're no longer under that law, are we? But we are under grace. Faith alone unties us to Christ and the Father, granting us full family rights in God's wonderful household in eternity. Amen. Baptism symbolizes a spiritual union with Christ in His death and His resurrection. It recalls the crossing of the Red Sea and Noah's Ark, both of which point to that salvation through judgment. The imagery of putting on Christ, closing oneself in righteousness. Adam and Eve were clothed by God, wasn't they? A foreshadowing of Christ's righteousness that covers each one of our sins today. In Christ, believers are dressed in His perfection. And that fulfills the new creation promise. In Christ, the old self dies, don't it? And a new self is born, reflecting truly the image of God, of the Son of God. That baptism marks our entrance into a covenant community and our creation in the Spirit. It proclaims the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of calling, redeeming, and sanctifying each one of us. The fall fractured human relationships. But in Christ, these divisions are overcome. Pentecost reversed Babel, creating a unified people of many languages. The oneness anticipates the ecclesiastical unity of the new heaven and a new earth in Revelation, where every tribe, every tongue, and every nation worship God together. Believers are the true fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. This is not by ethnicity,
right,
or works, is it? But it is by faith alone in Christ God, in God. A family from all peoples, created by the Trinity saving work. Paul elsewhere calls the church the new temple where God dwells by His Holy Spirit. The ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to dwell within and among His people. In Christ, there is no spiritual hierarchy, is there? All are equally redeemed and all are loved in the family of God. This unity itself is created by the Spirit. It glorifies the Son and it honors the Father's plan for eternal or from that eternity past. The text today calls us to live in the reality of what God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has done for each one of us. The Father planned salvation and made each one of His heirs. The Son fulfilled the law. He redeemed us and He united us to Himself. And the Spirit itself applies that work to each one of us. It baptizes each one of us into Christ. It forms us into one body. On this Sunday, after Trinity Sunday, passage itself reminds us of the triune God, don't it? That has created a people where all worldly distractions dissolve in the greater unity of Christ. This is the new humanity, isn't it? It's God's family. We're heirs according to a promise. Live as adopted sons and daughters, boldly and joyfully. Treat every believer, regardless of their background, right? Neither Jew nor Gentile, as a true family member. Celebrate your baptismal identity because you are truly clothed in Christ. And proclaim this unity to a divided world as a sign of the coming kingdom of God for eternity. Amen. God promised Abraham. It was not just merely about land or earthly blessings, was it? But it was about Christ's blessing to the nations. And in Christ, every believer, Jew or Gentile, is a part of that promise and a co-heir to heaven. Amen. That is truly the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. To make one family from every corner of the earth. Remember, He tells us to go to all nations, right? Not just where we are, but every corner of the earth. Amen. Christian, your future is secure. You are an heir in the kingdom of God. No earthly suffering can rob us of the glory awaiting for each one of us in Christ. Amen. On this Sunday, let us rejoice in the glorious truth of that gospel. The law prepared us. Christ fulfilled it. Faith in Christ justifies and adopts us. The baptism declares each one of our new identities. Unity in Christ binds us together as one people. We are truly heirs of God. He's the eternal promise. Amen. Let the world seek identity in passing things. But let the church, how many of y'all are in the church today, amen? We're all the church, right? Let the church stand firm, clothed in Christ, as sons and daughters of God, heirs of a kingdom that cannot be shaken cannot be overthrown. Amen. As we come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as always, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for opening our heart, mind, and soul to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, I ask you just to put on each one of our hearts today, Lord, how important it is truly to live as children of God today, Lord. Lord, we have that promise that the unsaved don't, Lord. We have the kinship in heaven, Lord, the eternity in the new earth, Lord. Lord, we thank you in the new Jerusalem, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to put somebody, Lord, that we can tell them about your grace, your mercy, and your glory today, Lord. Lord, about what a relationship with your Son, Lord, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, will truly do for them, Lord. Lord, how important it is for them to get out of this world when their day is up, Lord. Lord, knowing peacefully, calmly, Lord, knowing that they have that son and daughtership in eternity, Lord. Lord, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present your blameless before the presence of his glory with a great joy, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Now to him who is able to be far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And amen.